Well, a happy Monday, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker are with you here on the Green Zone. Locker, happy to see you didn't break the place. It's all nice and just the way I left it, for the most part, anyways. This is the time when you talk now, yeah?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I am only a couple more solo shifts away from destroying that keyboard, though.
The keyboard?
I'm a heavy typer.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
They've had to replace yours three times. You've only haven't even been here a year yet.
Yeah, don't hit F6.
That plays the clip, actually.
I brought that up. We don't need to get into it.
All righty, we got a busy show for you. Of course, the Riders back to work as well today. Britton Gray also back to work today. He'll have a full update from Rider practice. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories, and story number one. I'm back to work. Britton's back to work. The Riders practicing. Also back is the quarterback.
It felt like my bye week was last week, and so I'm excited to be back out here.
Yes, Trevor Harris is going to be the starting quarterback on Friday against the Calgary Stampeders after he just barely made it. Through concussion protocol. He just fell short of clearing concussion protocol against
last week's BC Lions. Yeah, for week four.
We'll hear from Trevor. Apparently there is some discussion with the doctors that might have gotten a little emotional that he felt he was ready, but they were like, don't think so, Trev.
Are we dipping our toes with this conversation into some controversy?
Well, also,
maybe just like a little splash.
Trevor Harris claiming that maybe there are some words said before that hit against the Toronto Argonauts. Actually, he didn't say maybe. There were words shared because Del Duncan Busby hit George Lowe, the DB, injured him. And the next play was when Jordan Williams hit him high. And Trevor Harris said today that when a defense tells you they're going to do something and then they do it, maybe you should have believed them. But he's not accusing.
They also got a fine for that hit on Trevor Harris.
Yes, they did. He made sure to say, I'm not accusing them of purposely hitting me high to injure me or anything like that. But he said there were some words going on back and forth. Then that happened. So he didn't view it as a very clean play. But we'll see. Best in the West up for grabs on Friday night with the Calgary Stampeders. Trevor Harris will be in the lineup.
And week five is in the books after last night.
High snap. He'll get it into the hands. And this is a huge hole for Justin Rankin. There goes that man. House call. Touchdown. Edmonton. 74 yards for Rankin.
This is, I spent some time in Edmonton. So I was watching. There was 12 seconds left on the clock in the fourth quarter. And I was like, oh, they're going to come back.
The red blacks
are going to tie it. I legitimately had that thought last night with 12 seconds left on the clock. We've got a final there. Elks 39, Red Blacks 33. So it didn't happen.
A win for the Elks. First one of the season.
Their first one.
Congratulations.
First one for the new head coach as well. Saturday night, the Lions squeaked out a win in Montreal over the Alouettes. And then the Ticats took care of the Argos. That was an exciting game, 51-38. And then the Thursday nighter, we've talked about that. The Stampeders dominating the Blue Bombers. And we got week six, the Riders returning, hosting the Stamps on Friday night. Jamie went 3-1 with his picks. There was a big discussion last week about your picks because you actually took the Stamps.
Would have been 4-0. Would have been 4-0 if the Alouettes didn't blow it against the Lions.
Oh, yeah, you almost went perfect. Does this put you, because you weren't doing so well in the first 4 weeks.
I was doing just fine.
Now you're back at the top, if I'm not mistaken.
Near the top. Near. One away.
One away?
Matthew Cause on the CFL dots. Yeah, it's Cause who's beating me. I'm not a big fan of that. But let's talk some Blue Jays baseball, shall we?
And Bichette hits a fly ball deep left field, and that is gone. And another diving play by Addison Barger, and it's another. Jays.
Yeah, a couple of big defensive plays by Barger down the third baseline last night. Held
like
it in
him.
As the Jays 3-2 win over the Angels. The Jays have now won 8 straight. Of course, home cooking was real good for Toronto. Now it's a road trip. They take on the Pope's team, the Chicago White Sox. Now, before you start going, oh, the White Sox, that'll be easy peasy. That'll be like 11 straight. The Sox did take 2 of 3 against the Jays a few weeks ago. But this Jays team is very confident right now. And I believe, is he your favorite Blue Jay, Alejandro Kirk?
Kirk, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to the All-Star game. He's going to the All-Star game. They announced that yesterday.
Well, there was a conversation that he might be put on the reserve list and then make his way in, kind of like a back doorway into the All-Star game. So I'm glad that came to fruition, because that was actually, that came up last week. Vladdy made making his 5th straight trip to the All-Star game. So it'd be nice to have Kirk with him. I love the player. He's so into it. He's so focused on what he's doing. And when he runs the bases, it puts a smile on my damn face. I'm telling you, every time I see that guy running, I'm just like, this is amazing. This guy's a baseball player. It's awesome. All right, NBA Raptors, former president said goodbye to Toronto.
We, the North, has ended together. And as a city, as a nation, as a team, we became champions.
But we wanted to win in Toronto, and we won in Toronto! Yeah!
It'll be interesting to see how he is viewed by that fan base moving forward.
He's the guy who brought him a championship.
Yeah.
He'll always be that guy. I think Masai Ujiri in Toronto will always have that kinship of, you know, okay, he's the guy who built the team. Brought Kawhi for the 1 year, and they won a championship. Hasn't gone as well the last couple of years, but before Masai Ujiri, no championships. They got one. So I think he'll always be seen as a good guy. He does so much like global work too with the Giants of Africa initiative that he's doing. So this was a almost 6-minute video that Masai Ujiri, Yes Ujiri Productions, as well. Like he's got so many different side hustles going on that they put that together as his final farewell to Toronto.
Well, and I think he bought into the community and bought into that role and lived it, right? Like he became part of the fabric of that community. It was a surprise for me when they announced that they were moving on from him. And I think a lot of Raptor fans were like, okay, what's next then? So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from that one.
And right near the end of the video, he did say his desire to win a second NBA championship still burns. So yeah, he's not done with the NBA. And in tennis, Djokovic continues to chase history.
Djokovic is through to his 6th deep Wimbledon quarterfinal.
Of course, Novak Djokovic, into the quarterfinal after a win earlier. He's trying to tie Roger Federer's Wimbledon record of 8 titles. Of course, he's stuck at 7. He's lost the finals the last 2 years to Carlos Alcaraz. Djokovic also, with another Grand Slam victory, would break a tie with the great Margaret Court for the most individual Grand Slams. Court and Djokovic have 24 Grand Slam championships. So her last title was in 73. She's still alive, 82 years old, as the Aussie tennis great. But Novak trying to break that tie for the most individual Grand Slam championships, also trying to tie Roger Federer as Wimbledon continues in England.
It's been a crazy week.
It has. Coming up next, Trevor Harris. More on the hit that took him out of the game against the BC Lions and had him feeling a little woozy in Toronto. Does he think it was on purpose? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I know it's not mine, but I see if I can use it for the weekend or a one-night stand. Couldn't understand how to work it out.
Jamie Locker with you here on The Green Zone. Hope you had a great weekend, as weather was touch and go at a few times over the weekend. A little bit of rain.
Oh, that was perfect.
Stuff like that. Sunday.
Not too hot, not too cold. Perfect.
Last week was hot.
Last week was a little, I hate complaining about the weather.
We went down to Kenosi.
But that was
for
a
lake day.
Whew.
That was a scorcher out there.
Yeah.
But fun was had. And at 44, I can still get around those inflatable, whatever they're called, out at the lakes. I was proud of myself.
Wait, hold on. Did you slap yourself to the back of a boat?
No. In they have these inflatable adventure playground things in that, like Regina Beach, and Kenosi has one. I forget what some of the other lakes.
Oh, so you're chasing the boy around in them.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a lot better balance than I do. Lower center of gravity. That is for sure. He was lapping me, but I could still get across, almost got across those lily pad things.
Oh, we need video proof of that. Until you show us, we're not going to believe you.
I'm pretty sure my wife was on the beach.
All right, let's see it. Pull it up.
Not a chance.
It'll be out on the Green Zone socials right away.
Not a chance.
Scotty gets old. Jamie and I on the lily pads.
Zero shot.
I am just learning about this now, everybody. I'll get my hands on that video.
Pass. But there's some rider news today. Trevor Harris back to practice. Feeling a little bit better after going through concussion protocol. He was asked if he was close to playing against the BC Lions before the bye week.
I was fine. Let's not probably go down that road. A little bit of a shouting match, but always trust what the doctors are saying, and you know they're looking out for our best interests. You know, and at the end of the day, we've only got one brain, and we're all going to be 55 and 60 someday. And I got four kids, and you know, although I told them I was ready to go and ready to play. They took matters in their own hands just based off of what they thought and what they gathered from, I guess, people or whatever. So, but we're back. We're good.
So he's good. Sounds like he really wanted to play against the BC Lions. Probably close to clearing concussion protocol, but they probably said, you're like 24 hours away. And then it's like, come on, really? I feel good. I just practiced.
They're competitors. Let's go. Right.
Well, Zach Collaros, he lied to the trainers in his first year in Saskatchewan. He got hit, got his bell rung in the preseason game, and then didn't disclose concussion symptoms because he didn't want to be that guy. He just got sent to Saskatchewan. He had concussion problems in Hamilton, injury-prone label on him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, great, I got hurt in preseason, and tried to hide it. And then as week two, I think he just got a little shot, and then he was out for a little bit longer. So
I've never
can't mess with this stuff.
I've never had the concussion issues, but I've been around it. And generally speaking, my son-in-law has concussion problems, and once you get that first one, the next ones are
especially in quick succession. That was the problem with Collaros, because he hit the one, then he got hit another one. It just made it worse. Because he didn't go through a concussion protocol. But Trevor Harris admits that, yeah, he was feeling a little off during that game against Toronto, but he was also had a head cold.
I knew something was going on during the game, during the game, when the other defense tells you they're about to do something and they do it, maybe you should believe them that they did it on purpose. And it was an unfortunate situation, you know, that their linebacker got hurt, and I know their guys were, you know, wanting to do something about it, and just unfortunate that. You know, I was like, man, I don't know. Just hopefully nothing happens. Let's just play good physical football, and then that happens. But, it happened during the game. I felt it. I knew I was a little bit dazed.
So he continued.
One of those things they wanted to get, you know, get even for their guy. And unfortunately, you know, I felt awful for George. And he's a great player. And, it's just an unfortunate situation. And I don't think that – who knows if it was on purpose. I'm not saying that. I'm not accusing him. Okay. But just, you know, felt like, you know – I didn't really feel like it was a clean one, but it is what it is, and I don't think he's a dirty player. He's a good football player, and just an unfortunate situation.
Of course, Jordan Williams got fined for that high hit on Trevor Harris. He's now cleared concussion protocol. Harris will play against the Stamps in a battle of first place on Friday night. And, of course, a reminder, it's an Obsidian Green game on Friday. Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday afternoon here on the Green Zone. Of course, Britton Gray is coming in at 3:05 with an update on the Riders. They're back at it after their bye week, getting set for the Calgary Stampeders the 3-1 Stamps, who just handed the Winnipeg Blue Bombers their first loss of the season, will try to do the same to Saskatchewan on Friday night. Of course, Luke Wilson will be in Saskatchewan. He put the Rough Rider fan base's number 2 on his fan power rankings, which has a lot of people talking, including me, because I still have the Riders number 1. And no, that's not just because I'm biased.
I think it's a little unfair. If you get a chance, go look at his tweet. Because we're being downgraded on... Anyway, I'll leave it there. It's not fair.
We'll dig into that as well a little bit later on here on the Green Zone. But exciting times for Dean DeSilva. He's the new head coach of the Swift Current Broncos of the WHL, joining us on the fan line now. Dean, thanks for your time this afternoon, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be on with you guys.
And now, a couple of years in Everett, how much of a head coaching position was on Dean DeSilva's 5-year plan when you got into the Dub a couple of years ago?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. When I went out to Vancouver about 6 years ago and left a very stable and good full-time job, and I said to my family, let's see if we can make this work 3 to 5 years down the road, and COVID hit and put it back a little bit. But after 4 years in Everett, here we are.
Are you in Swift Current yet, Dean?
No, I'm, okay. I'm back in Ontario. I was in Swift Current for the last 2 weeks looking for a place to live and getting to know the town and everybody's part of the team. But I'm back in southwestern Ontario right now, just spending a little bit of time with the family before I travel back out in early August because my family doesn't come out with me.
First blush thoughts on Swift Current, the community?
Love it. Absolutely love it. My whole family, we live in a town, or we live about 10 minutes outside of a town of 2,500 people. So we're small town people.
Yeah.
And when we drove through the prairies, coming into town, my partner, she looked at me, she goes, I absolutely love it out here. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I like the small town feel and the friendliness of the people.
That's awesome.
Dean DeSilva joining us, the new head coach of the Swift Current Broncos. In that opening news conference, one of the things you said that really popped out at me, if they don't work, they don't play. How important will it be to send that message early and often, even throughout camp and preseason, to really set the standard you're looking for when it comes to work from a young group of Broncos?
That will be one of the first things I say to them when we have a Zoom call in a couple of weeks. Because work ethic is a choice. You don't have to have any skill. You just choose to work hard or you don't. And we're going to be a fairly young team, and development's going to be big on our plate. And I know the league usually is an older league, but the landscape's changing a little bit. But there's no easy game any night. And if you want to get to the next level or you want to play pro, you have to work. And that's doing the right things off ice, doing the right things in practice. And then it's just a byproduct right into the game. And every team that I've been part of, either as an assistant coach or a head coach, has worked hard. And, you know, as a coach, you can't lose it on these players too often. You might get one opportunity this season where you're going to have to really come down on them. Otherwise, it's about building relationships and talking to them and letting them know what's in it for them and why it's important to do that. And anybody that you talk to in any NHL game you watch, you see how hard these players work. And the funnel gets smaller and smaller the higher up they go to play pro, so they have to work to get there, and they have to work at the little things as well.
It's interesting that this is sort of the pinnacle of your approach, because just based on conversations about dealing with the younger generation, there is a theory that kind of harder approach doesn't work, Dean.
No, it doesn't. The hard approach does not work with them. So I mean, you can't be yelling and screaming at them, but you can let them know, and you can show them through video, through meetings, through different things that work ethic, you need that for whatever you do in life. The accountability and the work ethic. And a successful hockey player can have a career that's done at 35, and they still have more than half their life ahead of them. And, you know, you guys work hard in your job. We work hard as a hockey organization, and every banker and lawyer and real estate agent, they all work hard in their field. And if you don't work on and off the ice, you won't have success in life.
We're the hardest working show in radio.
Yeah. I believe that. Well, I believe that.
Just ask our boss. Thankfully, he's off for 2 weeks. Anyways, Dean, I'm interested on work as a coach. What do you do to learn and improve, especially having to dealing with teenagers is not easy as a parent, as a coach. So what do you do to get better at that aspect of it?
Watch a lot of hockey, which is tough to do, you know, but you know, like for example, it's free education. You can get a hockey game on TV almost any given night and that's free education. And you know, you're watching this. So for example, in the playoffs, I would watch and I would cut film on, you know, I'd make notes on my phone. Hey, at this time of the game, cut this film because it might have been a breakout or a play or something. Or if a goal was scored, I'd go back 30 seconds and cut parts of that. The goal was the end result of what mistake or what somebody did well. But between that, you know, there's coaching clinics. There's lots of books you can read. It's books on leadership, books on communication, things like that that help a coach. You know, I like reading autobiographies on other successful coaches and things that they did. But a lot of it is through experience. You know, I've been fortunate enough to work with some outstanding coaching staff, some outstanding head coaches, some outstanding assistant coaches, people on the business side of hockey, and people that you talk to through the NHL and the AHL, and you learn from them and you take bits and pieces from them. Just like when a player steps out on the ice in a game, we have to trust as coaches what we've taught them in practice, what we've taught them in video, what we've taught them in the meetings, and hope that they, you know, use those skills. As a coach, it's the experiences that we gain growing up through that level and through the different people that we've associated ourselves with or we've come across. Whether it's good or bad, you take pieces from everybody and kind of make it your own. So as a coach, I'm always trying to learn every single day, always trying to get a little bit better to help the players reach their goals.
Dean DeSilva joining us. He's the new head coach of the Swift Current Broncos. We talked about sort of overall encompassing philosophies and your approach to coaching. This Swift Current Broncos team has sort of been nipping at the heels of success getting into the playoffs. And I think that's even harder to take that team to the next level as opposed to, you know, having something like at the ground floor and working your way back up. Is there anything technically that you're seeing from this team that you need to improve on when you take over and get these kids on the ice?
Well, the landscape has changed dramatically. I mean, they lost their 7 top scorers from last year's team. So we're going to be starting and building that foundation. And we want to work a lot on just our good habits. You know, of course, it goes back to work ethic, as I said earlier, good habits, discipline, our play without the puck. What do we do when we get it? And it's reads. A lot of coaches run into the mistake of trying to yell instructions from the bench every time a player touches a puck. You know, partner, quick up, weak side. And we have to let these players read and react. And we have to teach them that in practice. So I want to start with getting these guys into, obviously, the work ethic and good habits and details of the game. But teaching them the why. You know, players today coming up, they don't watch a lot of hockey. They watch the Instagram. They watch the sexy highlight reels, those 8-second clips, and it's going back. Well, what allowed that goal to go in? And teaching them what's in it for them by doing this and explaining that to them and helping them build that around a team concept. So the first thing that we're going to be working on is our habits and our details of play with the puck and without the puck, and then allow them to make mistakes on their reads, correct it, show it to them. You know, if that mistake is continually happening and the work ethic, you know, we'll correct that. But if they're not working hard and these mistakes are happening, then they're going to find themselves watching for a little bit, you know, until we can get that corrected.
So I should, every time my son touches the puck, I should stop yelling at him on what to do with it. Noted. Okay.
Father of the year.
Yeah. It's good to know. It's good knowledge to have.
We all do it.
Pass the puck. Shoot the puck.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, I've got parents that are in their 90s that they have a game day nap so that they can stay up with the time difference and watch the games. By the time I get back to my office after the game, I have an email from my mother telling me who played well, who needed to do better, and my father, they don't shoot the puck enough. Would you tell them to shoot the puck more?
There you go.
So it happens with everybody.
Right on. But, Dean, when you talk about the changing landscape, like the rumblings of Gavin McKenna off to Penn State, and how much is this league just going to naturally be younger with some of the premier players heading off to NCAA, or maybe not? Maybe I'm wrong reading it that way.
Well, I think it's right now it's a shiny new object. And I read an article the other day that before the rule change, I think it was about 27 or 28% of the players that went to the NCAA D1 on scholarships that were Canadian were 27%. And it was about 40% or 50, close to 50% Americans. Now that's flipped with the NCAA rule change in CHL. I think it's a shiny new object, and it's going to take 2 or 3 years until it kind of balances out. And talking to programs and talking to other coaches and other teams, they've found that the Canadian players want to jump to the NCAA really, really quickly, but the U.S. players now want to kind of come to the CHL and see what that's like, and they're deferring their years every now and then just to kind of gain that experience. And I think initially the next year or two, maybe three, the league might be a little bit younger, but there are things that the NCAA programs offer that we at the CHL can't match. But then there's things that we at the CHL level can offer that the NCAA can't match. And we have to allow these players, we want to put the players into an environment where they have an opportunity to develop, they have an opportunity to grow on and off the ice, they have an opportunity for success. And then when the time comes, we've got to let them make that decision. We may not agree with it, but we hope that they want to kind of stay a little bit longer until they're 19 or 20 before they go to that next level.
CHL is still the best development league in the world. You see it in the draft, right? You're going to continue to see it. So I think you're right. I think it's
The NCAA has the facilities. You know, we can't necessarily match those facilities, but the NHL schedule matches, the CHL schedule matches the NHL schedule. You know, NCAA plays 2 games on a weekend and they have 5 days off. The NHL doesn't have that. They might have 5 days off the All-Star break if they're lucky, that's it. You know, they don't have a lot of time for practices. You have to find that development. You have to find that mix.
Yeah.
Playoffs, NCAA plays a 2 out of 3 first round, and then it's 1 game. And they can say, oh, well, the 1 game, you know, it's like a game 7. Well, it might be mistake-wise. You make a mistake, it costs you. But at the CHL and at the NHL level, you're beating somebody up for 2 weeks in a best-of-7, and by the time you get to game 7, you've got guys that are just hanging together with, you know, bubble gum and shoestrings there, and giving their grit and their heart and their soul just to get a chance to play another team for another 2 weeks and go through it again. The NCAA will never be able to match that. So players have to decide what it is that they want, and I think I agree with you. The CHL is the best development league for pro hockey. It allows the players to understand the importance of time management, proper nutrition, proper rest, how to maintain your body when you have fewer days off, how to, you know, have that time management for school. And it's leading them into success, not only in hockey, but beyond that in life as well. You know, we don't have all this time to meet our deadlines at work and things like that. And you've got to be able to manage your time and work with others. And some days you're going to not feel like doing it, but you still push yourself through. You don't have those 5 days off to, oh, I can build up to it. So I agree. The CHL is the best development league for players.
And I'll take that over a nice shiny gym.
I would with you as well, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, Dean, it was great to get to know you a little bit, and we'll chat again soon. Have a good rest of your summer before you're right. I know it's not going to be a very long one until you're right back at the rink in Swift Current. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks very much. Thanks, guys.
That's Dean DeSilva, new head coach, Swift Current Broncos of the Western Hockey League. Coming up next, this day in sports history, a notable one for the Canadian Football League, a first of its kind as a kickoff to a new, albeit short, era for the CFL got its start.
That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Edbridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, it was July the 7th, 1993.
Now the kickoff. The first U.S. franchise in the CFL plays its first game for real. This is Walker on the return for the Ottawa Roughriders. He has room to the near side and out to the 31 before he stops.
Yes, that was the first play for the Sacramento Gold Miners, 1993, their first game in Ottawa against the Rough Riders. Of course, their quarterback, David Archer. It was a 32-23 win for Ottawa on that day. The Sacramento Gold Miners in their inaugural season would finish last in the CFL's West Division. Yes, U.S. expansion started on this day in 93. Would you do it again if I could guarantee you a 10th team in the CFL? Just one team. Just
one.
It was
a bad idea then. It's still a bad idea.
Just one team.
No.
Just to make it 10.
No.
Just one.
We'll get a team in Canada soon. It'll happen. Somebody with a crazy amount of money that's bored will do something with it.
Hasn't happened yet.
It's going to happen.
What do you think, Saskatchewan? If I could say just one. Just one team.
No.
Just to make it an even 10.
It's a bad idea.
Would you do just one team in the States?
Keep the
just one.
Canadian Football League Canadian.